asked the question today, who do we listen to? In 1934, a German magazine ran a story about a pilot using only his breath to fly a new invention. And the photo showed the man blowing into a box and soaring above the ground. And he was wearing skis to help him make a safe landing. The story in the photo made its way to the United States. There was one key piece of information that didn't make it. The fact that the whole story was an April Fool's gag. So, several American newspapers shared the quotes news about the amazing, lung-powered machine without realizing it was all a joke. The word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go out and stand before the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. On July the 17th, 2009, the former news anchor of CBS, Walter Cronkite, passed away at the age of 92 in New York City. President Barack Obama said at the time, quotes, he was someone we could trust to guide us through the most important issues of our day, a voice of certainty in an uncertain world. He was family. He invited us to believe in him, and he never let us down. In 1972, he was the most trusted man in America, with a huge following which surpassed the president, the vice president, and Congress, and all other journalists combined. He spoke authoritatively of Vietnam and Watergate. So much so that when he spoke of Vietnam, President Johnson said, if I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost Middle America. You know, there's been no one to take Cronkite's place. And I think that's because the whole world has gone through a sea change since his era. Today, there's an ocean of information available on the internet, Twitter, Facebook, much of it chaotic. And there are no guides for us as to how to handle it all. For instance, currently, evangelicals in the United States have been exposed to disinformation in the social media over vaccines. One New York Times report says that Stephanie Nana, an evangelical Christian in Edmond, Oklahoma, she refused to get COVID-19 vaccine because she believed it, quotes, contained aborted cell tissue. Nathan French, who leads a non-denominational ministry in Tacoma, Washington, said he received a divine message that God was the ultimate healer and deliverer. The vaccine is not the savior, he boldly proclaimed. Thus, millions of evangelicals refused vaccination, putting the entire nation at risk and making herd immunity a desperate and perhaps unattainable quest. Perhaps you've noticed that news has become an interactive two-way street. We live today in the era of many voices insisting to be heard. Los Angeles critic Robert Lloyd said of today that it's not the old voice of reassuring honesty that we cultivate, but one of perpetual anxiety. We live in an era where no one can speak for us anymore. If you've got a cell phone, an iPad, an iPhone, a laptop, or a desk computer, you can plug into the internet, and yes, you can have your say. But who's listening? And who do you listen to anymore in the plethora of voices? Perhaps then, whether it was an illusion that we loved Cronkite, because whether it's true or not, someone could distill for us the world and make some kind of sense of it in just a half an hour, maybe a pipe dream. In Canada, Peter Mansbridge filled that kind of a role as a trusted news anchor. And that was reassuring to Canadians, I think. But I think that that reassurance is now long gone. As one newspaper editor said, what room is there for the conscience of a nation anymore in an age of wholesale, instantaneous, unprecedented lying? Trust is something that may not be very wise when it comes to evaluating our sources of information. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What voices do we listen to, and how can we tell when a voice is lying to us? On a personal level, how do we know what's right or wrong and who to listen to? In the time of Jesus, there's no doubt that the disciples of Christ went to him as an authority that could be trusted. Peter said, "To whom else should we go? You've got the words of eternal life." For many devout Catholics, the Pope is a figure of authority, a voice they listen to. For Buddhists, it's what the Dalai Lama says. And it's the same for all the religions that have got holy books. The voice of God for them is found in the scriptures and sometimes in their leaders. Today, however, you and I live in an age of religious pluralism, where there are a multitude of authorities and voices. If on the communication media there's cacophony, just what do you think has happened when it comes to religious authority? Times have changed for every religious community. Today, Christians, Muslims, Jews, many other religions are divided amongst themselves, each of them claiming that they have the truth. And within the faiths, there are the same divides of liberal and conservatives, fundamentalists and mainstreams, violent and pacifist. The news, the internet, our education opens us all up to these voices like a vast smorgasbord. Which one do we follow, if any? I think that you and I, as we get up in the morning, every day try to internalize the world, a picture of the world, and we try to make sense of it. Well, here's the good news. What we're discovering today in the cacophony of voices is that there is perhaps still one trustworthy voice we can pay attention to. Where is it? It's the voice within us that many religions and psychologies refer to as the conscience, or in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit of God speaking within us. In the Old Testament tradition, we've got a great resource about this voice of God within. How do we recognize it as authentic, according to the Old Testament? When the prophet Elijah was at the far end and running for his life, he had an experience of God speaking to him. The Lord was not in the great wind, in the earthquake, not in a fire, but in a still, small voice, which one translation says, a murmuring. Isaiah, speaking of the same inner voice, says, God will be gracious to you when you cry. When he hears, he will answer you. When the Lord has given you the bread of suffering and the water of distress, he who is your teacher will hide no longer. When you turn to the left or turn to the right, you'll hear these words behind you. This is the way, go this way. In the New Testament tradition, the same inner voice of God is referred to in this way. The Holy Spirit will witness with our spirit to lead us into the truth. So according to these traditions, the voice we're all looking for is not some external authority. It's a voice within us. That said, what about Nathan French, who leads this aforementioned non-denominational ministry in Tacoma, Washington, saying that he'd received a divine message that God was the ultimate healer and deliverer. The vaccine is not the savior. Well, for many scientific experts, to refuse the vaccine is foolish in the extreme and will result in thousands of unnecessary deaths, as the stats show it already has. Who do you believe? A Nathan French with no scientific qualifications, but who claims he's got a direct line to God on vaccines? Or do you believe the science? Question: how do we deal with folks who teach that God speaks to them, and then when we look hard at what is said, supposedly by a rational, all-encompassing mind, it's unfortunately patent nonsense? Perhaps the best answer to this question that I've found is that the New Testament states that the Holy Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit to lead us into the truth. Thus, if we think we hear the voice of God, we need to test it. As 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Believe not every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." When we believe that something's true, we need to see that that so-called truth that we're considering actually sets us free. Or does it bind us up? As Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." Freedom, then, is the acid test of truth. When we believe that something is wrong, we get bound up in difficulties. Truth, however, can set us free again. So we can always recognize the voice of God because the truth always sets us free and lies always bind. President Trump, please note. If we think we're listening to the voice of God and get all bound up, we can know we are delusional. There are other voices within. We've got addictions. The addicted self has got a strong voice inside our heads, as well as a real self. There are other voices, like the voices of our dead parents and grandparents, our school teachers, our friends, or anyone who's an authority figure for us. Thus, in this inner swirl, there can also be a cacophony. Here are some of these voices you might recognize. "You lost your temper today. You should have spent more time with your family. You blew it. You messed up. You can't do anything right. You're just a failure. You look ugly today. That lipstick color is wrong. I'm getting too fat." If this goes on all the time in your head and you listen to these voices without defense, I think that you might end up getting depressed and sick. Certainly, these voices are not the voice of God within. In order to hear the voice of God, we have to stand up to these voices and answer them back. They're at the very best half-truths and lies, so you need to answer them with a truth that frees. When the voice says you shouldn't have said that, you can say, "Yeah, that's right. But you know, I've forgiven myself and I've learned an important lesson." When the voice accuses you of a business failure in the past, we can say, "Yeah, that was in the past. I've learned from my mistakes, and I've turned the page, and I'm now in a whole new chapter. I'm moving on, and this day before us is a great day for me to get started again." Every time we truly forgive someone, we can silence a troublesome voice within us. Every time we forgive ourselves, we can shut up that inner whiner. We can actually refuse to listen to these voices anymore. They are the monkey chatter of failure, of being too busy. They're full of low self-esteem. So let's clear the decks, open our minds and hearts to God, who speaks to us through our conscience. How do you tell the difference between these voices and the voices of God within? If the voice of God is speaking to us, it's going to have the following characteristic. It's going to be full of grace, mercy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, and because this voice speaks truth, these truths shall set us free. If following the voice ends up binding us up in shackles, we can know for sure it's not the voice of God. Deep down, we're going to realize that we may have silenced that true, gentle murmur within the Hebrew prophets talked about. And in its place, we have created our own God. Knowing that and asking the real God for help is the way out of that particular prison. Jesus said, "Ask and it's going to be given to you. Seek and you shall find. knock and the door shall be opened to you. The Old Testament teaches that the God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek God. One of the most amazing positive developments of our time, since we've lost that single authoritative voice we all used to heed, is that we're more open to hear our own inner voices and the voices of formerly insignificant others, like little children. For instance, not so long ago, children were to be seen and not heard. I can remember sitting in my grandmother's parlor, and my grandfather was there, and my parents was there, and my sister and me. And I'd try and say something, and my grandfather would say, "Silence!" We sat there in silence for the meal, the whole meal, while the adults talked. As a little boy, I didn't think that was too fair. Today, more than ever, children can be voices that we can listen to. As I pointed out last week, God can speak through a child. Today, the truth can come from anywhere. Anyone can make a sudden difference. In 1967, when Cronkite was on the influence throne in America, Detroit City was torn up with riots and violence, arson, vandalism, gunfire, fist fights. There were protests about Vietnam. Women's movements on feminism were being rejected by men. Black Americans who were breaking out of the chains of segregation. Carl Andrus, a peaceful auto worker and nonviolent Mennonite, recalled, "Our city was dying. Everywhere you looked, you could see fires, smoldering rubble, burned out hulks of buildings where somebody's business or home once stood." Over dinner, one night, the Andrus's young 11-year-old boy had an idea they should make a sign and hang it up in their window. It read, "This house is unarmed." They hung it in their living room window, clearly visible from the street. The Andrus's wanted to send a nonviolent message. Despite some fears expressed by neighbors, the signs started to proliferate. The Andrus's printed some dozen or more, and they gave them out to their friends. And so the message spread a little more. "Some of us saw them, and we made our own," said the Reverend Nancy Doughty. Eventually, one of the progressive churches took up the idea and printed several hundred. And that inspired idea then became a movement which went viral. As Eric Coble wrote, "All reports indicate that none of the houses that bore the signs were touched by so much as a scintilla of the violence." So here's the lesson as Eric Coble saw it. He says, "We so often believe that great ideas can only come from great leaders, that effective protests can only be driven by saints. How inspiring then to realize that any one of us has the ability to imagine a workable solution and can turn that idea into powerful action." And in this case, a child's simple idea gave protection and helped restore peace to a violence-torn city. You know, things have changed since 1967 and the time of Cronkite. Now, any one of us listening to the voice of God within can literally change the world, as that little 11-year-old boy did in Detroit. So who do we listen to? God has placed God's own voice within us from the dawn of time. It's more urgent than ever that we listen to God, that still small voice that does not lie to us ever. It's not in the winds of mass media coverage, or in the earthquake of mountains of information, or in the fire of disinformation that wreaks havoc everywhere it's spread. No. It's not in these places that we find guidance and reassurance, but in the still small voice, a gentle murmuring of mercy and love within us that we've come to recognize as the voice of God. That voice heard within us can free us to build a better Canada, a better world for our children's children, a world the prophet saw as possible where justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream, where swords are turned into plowshares, and where human beings shall not make war anymore. Amen.